in that the treated by Parliament for us to land here today at the time. Only in the afternoon that we were seated in the chamber, we were told that we have since been kicked out of our venue. Economists and everybody else, all going to be lock-up session for budget. Having spoken to the House Chair for committees, he also confirmed that we have no alternative but find a venue outside of Parliament. So, committee and also Labour Committee are affected in this regard. Profusely apologizing, I don't know on behalf of who, but apologizing that we find ourselves in this situation. Coming here also is another challenge. We find ourselves having to be fitted like we are fitted. The other one cannot see the other. If we can try to arrange such that our administration, if it can be in those obscured tables, like that table, make one example, and that table, make another example. If our administration staff can be seated in those respective tables so that we can see each other. I'm aware that you cannot see your next door neighbor, which is quite unfortunate, but what I can attest is that we can see almost a quarter of you here. If we can shift that table to that table and then move into that table so that we can see our board members. If we can see some staff members in that direction and some of the board members and members of parliament, they can be all here. If you can just move without making noise, the issue is so simple, simply warrants you to just walk and keep quiet so that you can begin as process. Apologies once again for those that are just stepping in. We are in this situation chiefly and solely because of Parliament and its administration. What is also very clear out of this experience is that the administration is in charge. And also National Treasury is in charge. They can toss you all over. Despite the fact that you have arranged ahead of time. Today we have two items on the agenda. From accommodation, you can just be in a table where we can see you and others equally can see you. We are trying to get some of our officials from Parliament and Department to be in those obscured tables. Those members of Parliament welcome the mayor from Barakwarma. If you can come this direction, I keep on apologizing on behalf of somebody I don't know. You can come this direction, Mama. And your team. There are tables this side. We find ourselves in this situation which is quite untenable. Parliament has just kicked us out of Parliament because of lock-up session. side. Without waste of time, also that we're starting late, we shall then have to give over to the Red Watcher, that shall take us through. Three things that we have pressed an interest in. One is the fact that we want and love to extend the full complement of the board. These are entities that come before Parliament. Frankly speaking, in our class, I speak on behalf of all of the members of Parliament. We've never seen the full complement of the board. Granted, your water boards are appointed that is dismissed by the minister. The Water Act, water system, water services Act, talks to that. And it says, therefore, as Parliament, our role is very limited. However, we do pass your budget. Senator Norman, you pass the budget, but you don't play any role on what you pass in your budget or in terms of its appointment and whatever else that goes within that. One of the processes that the department is in motion with is that of having to pull together that legislation that must come before us before end of March. Among others, this is one of the issues that we'll have to deal with quite promptly. Bring those members of the board of all the entities before us so that we get to know who is the whom are we exercising oversight on. Number two, it is for the entities themselves as they intervene from time to time on behalf of government, Department of Water and Sanitation. They brief us also about those processes that they are involved in. Renwater shall do that, and also Amatola shall do that. And lastly, part of also bringing the board here in full complement, it is also to impress upon the department, DG, and also the entity itself on a need to seriously look into governance issues among the board. We unfortunately always make one example about a CEO serving in one entity and also serving in a board of another water entity. We don't know how far, how widespread is that. We shall have to be informed accordingly. But the practice has exposed us to such discussion in the scenario. Okay, DG, we shall then have to give this over to you with any introductory remarks and then you guys. Let's feel free to talk where we are and also talk, sit down. I'm a very easy person, so not to start, stand up.
Thank you, Chair President, and the Honorable members of the committee. We, from the department side, we, as you have already outlined, that it's well within the entities, the board themselves, the report on their performance, as the annual report. So, so far, we don't have much to say. Except that you will hear from the host's mouth. So both horses are here in the form of the Renwater Board and the Amatola Board. So they will tell the whole story without any distortion. Thank you very much.
Imagine those that are supposed to be presenting, unfortunately, will have to be here to raise the problem. If that is not the case, it's fine.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. I'm not sure if you allow me to introduce the board members. I know your time is short, but we have made the point that we have answered here, so I can know who the board members are. First off, I would like to apologize. I did indicate that we had initially got those messages about the requirement for attending. One of our members is overseas and couldn't be here. That's Professor Fred Otieno. And then the other member is Kovadia, is chairing the board of another entity, non-water related church. And that board could not be moved at short notice, so he's not here. But otherwise, our members are here. Maybe I'll ask them to send things and see them in light of the configuration of the room. The deputy chairperson is here. So, if you look at Machika, and then the chairperson of our audit committee is Ms. Renee Kinoti. And then we have Mr. Isaac Nishi. And we also have here Ms. Montana and Ms. Lucy Swabem. And then Mr. Nestine Mobile. Are the two members that have already apologized for. And of course, this is to be an official on the Mr. Matibiani also sits on our board. He's sitting with the neighbors at the moment. Chairperson, thank you for allowing us to make those introductions. The second thing I'd like to cover in relation to the introductory remarks is the question where you said water boards have also been asked to speak about other work that they do in relation to the department. In the slides that we have circulated, you will already find information on the War on Leaks program that I'm sure you're all familiar with by now, which was launched in 2015. I think it was announced by the state president in the 2015 and it was launched later this year. Water acts as an implementing agent, one of the implementing agents on behalf of the department for the War on Leaks project. And an update on that is included in the slides that have been circulated. Secondly, board members will also be aware that Rainwater has been asked to take over the operations of what used to be the Bushbuck Ridge Water Board. While that might have fallen into the category of interventions at the start, that water board was disestablished. And Rainwater now considers that area to be this area and the regional office Rainwater Mpumalanga. And then Rainwater has also then been involved in other interventions in Mpumalanga province, and we have prepared additional slides. I'm not sure whether those have been circulated yet, but we have prepared those as additional package to the material. We will allow us, Chair, we'll go through those in the presentation and ensure also that they are circulated so that we have them. And then, of course, we are also then presenting our results for the 2016 financial year. And as a board, we are happy to report that operationally, financially, and from a performance point of view, it has been a pleasing set of results. I won't go into all the highlights in light of the time constraints, but I can point out, for instance, that in terms of our key performance targets as per the shareholder context, we achieved 87.5 of those targets. That we received an unqualified audit opinion. And in the year under review also is when the issue in relation to the drought was also introduced, and in particular the 15% restriction or reduction in water consumption was called for, and we will speak a little bit about that. And in light of our understanding of the drought situation being a long-term issue or being something that is going to take the country a number of years to recover from, Along with that understanding, our board considered our OPEX and our CAPEX for the next couple of years and made adjustments in line with an anticipation that our customers would need, the municipalities would need 15% less water, we have 15% less revenue, and so on and so forth. So our budgets were adjusted accordingly. We will also go in our presentation, Chairperson, into matters of non-compliance, and those details will be there in the presentation in relation to irregular expenditure and instances where criminal activity was detected and where we have instituted appropriate consequence management. As a board, we take very seriously, no matter how small any incidents that are detected through audits or any processes, and ensure that management follows proper consequence management, whether it be by disciplining staff or reporting and starting instituting criminal cases where it is appropriate. Where these instances have happened in the area of procurement, I just want to highlight that part of the consequence management process that we have introduced is moving towards using technology in order to assist us to drive control measures, for instance, through the e-tendering process, procurement process that will be introduced in phases, which will help us secure the process even more in terms of ensuring that access is limited according to people's duties that they have to perform in relation to the tendering process, that has proper enhanced segregation of duties. That record will be better managed if everything happens on an online platform, and also that it makes the auditing process and the audit trail easier to track when these things happen on an e-platform, and it also enhances the transparency. I think you will appreciate, Chairperson, that, that when allegations are made about anything within the procurement process, it will be an improved process for us as a board and for oversight to be able to look at the footprints in terms of the trail on a e-platform and to be able to detect whether we have problems or not. No, they'll get into the presentation. I'll just make you the introduction. Chairman, I think I'm actually done with it, and I would want to ask the CE and the CFO to then work from the presentation and take you through these elements that I've introduced and others that I've included in the presentation. Perhaps you'd like to indicate how much time we have to go through this.
Good morning. 20 minutes. These are renovated key strategic things. I won't go into these because of limitations of time. But members can have a look and just for themselves. All I want to say is okay, we are here to look at the organizational performance in terms of how the organization is. Looking at added value, quality management systems maintained, we have maintained all our certifications in terms of the ISO standards, and our disabling injury frequency rate has improved from 0.28 to 0.24, and we that list of suppliers, we met all our 15 demands and abided to our output supply contract. Occupational safety, health and environment, embedded in our project management processes. Blue source certification increased awards during the year in special recognition for helping municipalities achieve their blue source standards. Product quality consistently maintains the national drinking water standards and delivery to customers from the Paralympic and National Standards plus 1 and 2, 2 for 1. And we have an unqualified opinion on the financial capital, strong improvement in operating margins and returns in excess of wages cost of capital. And we've attained 93.3% total BEE against a target of 55%. And our customer satisfaction rate is sitting at 83.2%. Employee engagement, there's been an improvement from 66% to 71%. And we've achieved 87.5% of performance target that set out in the shareholder compact. I will break that down later in terms of the areas where we did not actually meet our agreed upon target in the department. Job creation, we have created 312 permanent and jobs and 5,858 direct and indirect temporary jobs created. These are because we work on a project basis, and some of them, the jobs are there for the tenure of a particular project. That's why we say they are temporary. Renota Foundation, internal funding, that means coming from Renota itself, it's 2.6 million, and we were able to raise the external funding to the tune of around 11 million. And this is the performance method, looking at the triple bottom line, the initial outcomes, and the shareholder compact. I think what we're trying to do here, Jefferson, is just to show our alignment in terms of what Renota has done to or is doing, whether our strategies are aligned to how the shareholder is looking at it. Looking at the social side of the triple bottom line, social, continuous water supply, sanitation solutions, we have the Renota Academy, which the chair spoke of, the foundation and CSR, which is what we've just spoken about now, as well as job creation and capacity building. On the environmental side, looking at the blue and green crop standards, environmental conservation programs, water catchment and wetland rehabilitation. On the economic side, there's been year-on-year increases of revenue. Our revenue has increased by 12%. Gross income, 25%, net income, 51%, cash from operations, 47%, and capital expenditure, 16% growth. And our alignment to the presidential outcome, looking at the long and healthy life of South Africans, and our interpretation of where we come in as Red Water is uninterrupted supply of quality water for over 24 hours. We've stabilized our system and energy management initiatives enhanced after interruption experience in September 2014. Skilled and capable workforce, we have the Renault Academy looking at capacity building and job creation. Efficient local government system, that's the work that we are aligning to our activities in Kumala. Implementing agents on behalf of municipality or government. On the shareholder compact, still looking at being part of the institutional realignment process, enhanced quality and quantity of water resources, water demand management and asset management. We spend 3.3 billion on ensuring the maintenance and supply availability of our bulk infrastructure. And we've implemented projects amounting to 1.4 billion on behalf of national departments and local authorities. And without necessarily going deeply into this, these were the key performance indicators for the year under review. With your permission, Chair, I just want to focus on the ones which are red arrows, which is where we did not achieve our target. The first one is data days. The target was 33 days or less, and we have not achieved that because we ended up at 38 days. And this is the first time in a long time that we are so far away from the data day target. And in the presentation as well, we are actually outlining the municipalities that are starting to struggle in terms of their ability to pay us. one of the areas that we did not achieve, but it's also based on quite a number of things that were happening in the previous year. One of them being the fact that our year end was actually very closely related to our major customer changes, especially in terms of the local election, or the being one. The second one has also been in relation to local government. The fact that we're now dealing with new administration on that side as well. And I think there was also an indication from the shareholder that we should not be switching customers off in terms of the processes that are available to us during the election time. But we are seeing that this is actually led to us not to be able to achieve our goals. The only other one where we did not do well is the one on employee engagement survey. Our target was 72% or more, and we have achieved about 71%. But we did say in the beginning that in the year preceding this one, it was sitting at 56%. So there has been a vast improvement, and we are only a percentage short of where we are. The one that we decided, and I'm sorry for the narrative, but it was quite important, as the chair has said, to spend some time just talking about this particular one, looking at the regular business and wasting expenditure and criminal conduct. For the year under review, the group recorded 6.066 million worth of expenditure instead as a result of irregular expenditure and 15,000 rands worth of secret and wasteful expenditure. No material cases of criminal conduct being recorded for the year. Approximately 14.7 million worth of irregular expenditure incurred in prior years has been condoned in the financial year. The reason why it's taking so long is because there's a lot of processes that have to be done. So we are reporting on things that happened in the previous years, but the process actually culminates to National Treasury doing the combination from our internal process going to audit committee, going to full board, and then going to the next level. It takes a bit of time, but I think this is the year where we are able to complete some of this. The group is in the process of obtaining approvals for the condemnation of the remaining balance of 3.2 million in irregular expenditure in prior years. And the breakdown of the irregular expenditure for the year that we do, details of the current financial year movement is as follows. There was work awarded to a supplier in contravention of the CIDD regulation amounting to 2.5 million. And what happened here is during the year, work to the value of 10.5 million was awarded to a supplier who was two levels to meet the CIDD minimum for award. The expenditure in care for the year is in respect of to the contract value of 2.5 million. And this we are putting in this way because there was an issue of interpretation, but we actually settled for the external auditor's view of how we are supposed to have treated this. The irregular expenditure is in the process of being condoned. Disciplinary action has been taken and the supply chain management structure has been strengthened as the board approval. The organization has further planned for team upgrading by National Treasury. We have had our first session with them, this week. A very interesting session, I told as well. Travel reinvestment claimed by employees in contravention of the Income Tax Act amounting to 146,000. During the financial year, six employees claimed travel from home to work in contravention of the organization's policies and Income Tax Act. The organization has initiated its disciplinary and recovery process accordingly, and the organization will thereafter request the necessary confirmation in line with the National Treasury requirements. And this one was picked up by the organization. I think it's important to also highlight that within the business itself, there are things that we are picking up on the basis of the audit, but there are other things that are driven by management in terms of us looking at continuous improvement. Even the one on supply chain non-compliance of 3.4 million, it was based on internal processes that were able to pick this up, and upon investigation, we were picking up that during the financial year, the organization identified certain supply chain non-compliance in relation to invalid tax year certificates, triple B certificates, and the process adopted for obtaining quotations. Currently, the organization is in the process of investigating the matter. Disciplinary action has been taken, and the SCM structure has been strengthened as board approval. The organization has set up planned continuous training with national charity, as I've explained. As I noted, we are guided by the updated guidelines on irregular expenditure issued by National Treasury in April 2015 and the internal fruitless, wasteful and irregular expenditure management framework. In line with those documents, RENOTA undertakes a comprehensive investigation on all irregular expenditures. The report on the investigation will determine the corrective action required, which may entail disciplinary action, recovery of the amount, criminal action, or any other. As part of the internal process, the irregular expenditure report is then submitted to executives, the audit committee, and the board. In line with legislation, RENOTA has to submit all irregular expenditures for coordination to the National Treasury. The current irregular expenditures have been investigated internally, and the organization is implementing the action as per the investigation report. The irregular expenditure will thereafter be submitted to National Treasury for coordination. Still on the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, National Treasury and PSMA compliance requirements. We have now been required to also look at theft and having a theft and loss register. Since the 2015-16 financial year, National Treasury regulations dictate that the organization must maintain a theft and loss register that has to be reported on a quarterly basis to what I've called the Portfolio Integrating Committee, or sort of executive committee, the Board Risk and Audit Committee. The register has been developed and the group government portfolio compiles and maintains the report on it as directed. For the year that reviewed, the organization opened 5 criminal cases after internal investigations were initiated into allegations to receive control measures to detect transgressions. And this is the breakdown of the criminal cases. Theft of cable, theft of oil, theft of laptops, theft of tools, and fraud as well. And looking at procurement and contract management, contracts were awarded where interesting instances the following were not complied with the supply chain management policies and processes, PFMA and CIDD regulations. Total losses of almost 3 million and recoveries, half of that, about 1.45 million. Losses recovered through civil litigation or direct recovery. None of the criminal offenses registered resulted in material losses that breached the evaluation's materiality and significance framework. However, we are making sure, and that's why we are talking about it here, that we follow each and every one, whether it's a theft of oil of 150 or we're talking about bigger amounts as well. And I think the chairperson in her opening remarks also touched on some of the problems that we are dealing with on behalf of the department and national government. And this talks to the Red Water Academy, where we still busy with the, we are about to start with the phase 3 of this whole process of war. And this just says that in September 2015, we did the phase 1 and phase 2 also has been that. Now we are about to embark on phase 3. I think it's scheduled for this Friday in terms of the launch thereof. And here we just show in the amount in terms of how we've been doing it. The rollout is in place in terms of what needs to be done. And RENOTA and the drought situation. We've looked at the risk as sitting in the World Economic Forum Global Risk Analysis, and as one can see, water sits quite higher up in terms of what needs to happen. And we have seen how this has had an impact on us between 2015 and 2016. And in fact, currently we are still experiencing that if one looks at it at the national level. And these are some of the actions that have been taken by RENOTA to assist in addressing the challenges of drought. Imposing as directed by the department the 15% cut in water supply, looking at water restrictions, looking at penalties, looking at communication with the media, looking at educating the public on the current challenges and its implications. given the uncertainty, Rainwater is the chair has already to review the operational and capex plan for the 15% reduction in water supply. And I think the result that we'll be talking about was just before that has happened, but we are in the process of looking at the impact on drought of our own business. And the way we're looking at it, our revised budget and plan is based on the assumption that the 15% reduction in volume is the new sustained volume base, growing on average of 1.75% per annum over the next 5 years. Operational performance snapshot, our revenue is sitting at 11 billion, which in 2016 was 9.8, so there was an improvement. Net income moved from 1.438 million to 2.165 million. Our total assets grew from 18.7 billion to 22 billion. Total liabilities from 7.5 billion to 8.7 billion. Our capital expenditure, this includes borrowing costs, moved from 2.8 billion to 3.3 billion. Gross margin increased from 28.62% to 31.9%. Our EBITDA grew by 25% to 2.45 billion. And the EBITDA margin expanding to 22.3%. Overall cash reserves were sitting at 1.47 million in the year that we. And below, we just saw in a graph in terms of our total volume sold per day, but we're also introducing properly now the extended area looking at the areas that we've taken in Mpumalanga, what used to be the Bush Battery Water Works. That's the green thing. And our revenue analysis also is sitting on the right-hand side, looking at our major customers and this is our customer mix and the significance and how they sit in terms of our own revenue base. We supplied an average of 4684 megaliters of water per day. In the extended area, we supplied 187 megaliters of water per day. Our highest recorded peak daily demand increased to over 5,000 megaliters of water per day. Revenue growth driven by tariff increases of 13.5% and the volume increase of 1.4%. Our water loss is sitting at 3.22%. And we had to give a rebate to customers for the AMD charge that in the time when we were negotiating the tariffs with the department, they actually said they were going to charge it, but they ended up not charging it. So we collected more money than what was due to us because this was a pass-through cost, so we're looking at retaining the money. Financial performance overview, 12% increase in revenue, 25% increase in gross income, 51% increase in net income, cash from operations increased by 47%, and 13% increase in capital expenditure. And these are the graphs, and in the interest of time, not necessarily going into them. If there were problems, then I would go deeper into them. And this is our consolidated income statement, looking at the cost of raw water, which makes 48% of our cost structure. Energy sitting at 22%, our labor cost is 24%, and chemicals sitting at 3%, and other costs are sitting at 3%. And this is a breakdown of our net operating costs that we're using at 2015. And other costs, if we look at the improvement as well, which shows that even if we have a call-off for other costs, we've been working quite hard to actually take the cost out of the organization. If one looks at the bar from the black bar in 2015 and the green one in 2016, we have been working on taking cost out of the organization as well. So our performance is not really only based on targets, but there has been a strong direction from board to actually ensure that we can be as efficient as possible as an organization. And on the right hand side, in terms of the income statement. Looking at the fact that we had to restate our figures for 2015 and we were at 1.4 billion and for 2016 2.1 billion, and I think I've already touched on that. Statement of financial position, we've also talked about moving from 18.6 to 22 billion as well in terms of total assets. And we spent some time just unpacking the whole thing of defaulting debtors, looking at particular customers, as at the end of June 2016, and the payments that were received after the closure of our figures, because one other problem is we share the same financial year end with municipalities, and some of them look at keeping money and not giving over to us so that they close on a better slate, although it's money that's supposed to get to us. So you talk about slates then. And then we have secondary activities as well, where these we're doing on behalf of the department, the Benzin or Sewer Scheme, and then in Mpumalanga itself, looking at the Oshane water purification work, which actually belongs to one of the municipalities there, but it's funded by the department, and the Ntegazi North Bulk Scheme, funded by the Water and Sanitation Department. We can actually show that even on their side, there's still some money that we owe. And this is the breakdown of the defaulting debtors, looking at the aging of the debt that they have. I think the current figure should not be looked at a lot. It's 1 billion, but this is just on current. That's just the value of how much we bill per month to our customers. But these are the ones that are defaulting. But the worry starts with the 30 days, but also especially the 120 days plus. But we are working with the municipalities, and on the bottom part of what I've put down is exactly where we are in terms of the status. Customers have been paid on a particular date. Customers have been entered into payment arrangements with us. Customers that have not actually committed on a payment date, like Mohale City, Timahulu, and a few others. Some have actually should pay us, but what we're trying to demonstrate here is we are actually keeping a close eye on this and engaging with those that are defaulting on their payments to us. And this is just the analysis of the capital expenditure. What happens with all this money when we say we are doing capital expenditure? Just looking at the breakdown, 43% of that going to pipelines, about 1% to reservoirs, 21% to pumping, 27% to purification, and 8% to the other related expenses that we do. And this amounted to 2.7 billion. And on our 5-year capital expenditure program, looking at 2017 to 2021, one can actually see that we intend spending 16.8 billion, and this is how it's going to be broken down. And we are using the application of the replacement value method as a direct impact on tariffs. I think for now we are on historical basis. We are using historical cost methodology, but we know that it is a method that looks at under recovery at this stage, because you are using historical figures to determine your asset, whilst if you have to replace them now, you have to buy them on the basis of the current prices. So on the right hand side, we just try to show the difference between using the historical cost and the replacement value methodology. We are saying in the end we need to move to the replacement value methodology, but we understand that over the years we've been using the historical cost methodology. The only problem is this would have a direct impact on the tariffs, because I think in terms of best practice, they actually say you need to be spending X amount of money to on an annual basis as a percentage of your total asset base, and we are aware that that can lead to quite increased tariffs, but in the main it's something that we need to keep an eye on, because if we don't, you might end up having companies like Rainwater not being able to look after its asset properly, because we're not investing enough in them. Institutional realignment, recoverable projects, most of these would have been what we're doing in Mpumalanga. Secondary activities, looking at continuation of sanitation operations and management projects and infrastructure projects. Significant increase in recoverable projects from Mpumalanga. And in the year under review, our costs were sitting at 41 million, but our revenue is sitting at 121. And the reason for this primarily is the fact that we've been able to recover part of the cost that the water board that we took over was not able to do that, because we entered into a settlement agreement with the municipality over there, and we have been able to recover most of the money. And we also had to change our, can you go one back, our accounting treatment as an implementing agent on the basis of how we do this. Because we are the first one to get into this whole thing of expanding our areas and taking over some of the certain areas. We are a pilot, and some of the things that we are unearthing as we do this process, we are finding a whole lot of things that are not aligned to what was initially believed. So as we do that, we have to do the right treatment, accounting treatment. We've changed our accounting treatment for recoverable project. We had to reassess it, and it was determined that the entity as an agent in respect of implementing agent project. So the figures here are showing as previously reported last year and the reclassification that we had to do, and the figures as restated at 30 June 2015. And for Mpumalanga itself, the former Bushbuck Ridge, we're looking at the cost 152 million and the revenue 242 million. And as I've said as well, this is related to how we've been doing strategic asset, initial recognition of asset at takeover. BBR recognized bulk asset as part of their PPE. Subsequent discovery during our due diligence, we found that ownership of the bulk water infrastructure in Mpumalanga generally resides with the relevant local municipality or the Department of Water and Sanitation, not the Water Board. That's why, and this has led to the reclassification that we had to do. To account for this asset in 2016 financial year, we expanded our accounting policies to recognize the service concessions and transfer of assets from customers. And we've adopted the IFRIC 12 in terms of dealing with these things, and IFRIC 18 as well. The performance snapshot of Mpumalanga, there's no growth in revenue because we had to have that agreement that said this is what they can afford, so we went for the targeted approach, and our tariff was aligned towards their affordability. Revenue recovery limitations placed by settlement agreement, as I've said. Water volumes consistently exceed limits placed by debt settlement agreement because you can only do it for a particular period, especially since we were increasing the footprint in the distribution. We're putting a lot more customers on the system to get water, but we had a finite set in terms of how much we're going to charge them. But there has been, on the positive side, significant recovery of bad debt, offset total expenses. Stability in terms of internal control have been achieved, which has been a good thing for us as well. And here we just highlighting the major adjustments include write-up of water rights and right of use of intangible assets of 208 million and BLM assets of 106 million with the corresponding deferred income adjustment of 329 million identified after June 2015 end closure. And these are our cash flows, looking at cash that we've been looking at the net debt and cash flow, but specifically on the cash generated from operations, we can actually see that the business is able to generate money, and this is aligned to our projections as well. And this is how we are gearing the business. We have been increasing the gearing in terms of the amount that we go into the market to borrow, but because of how well we've done between 2015 and 2016, we started using some of the money that we was generated from operations now to fund our capital expenditure program. So our net debt position increased by half a billion, increase in financial cost by 51% to 4.5 million, cash interest cover of 5 times, cash generated from operations of 2.5 billion, an increase of 47%. The amount of net cash utilized in investing activities increased by 13%. Cash reserves at year end were 27% to 1.47 billion, and in 2015 it was 1.15 billion, gearing down to 33%, and in 2016 it was 36%. And our target in terms of gearing is we should not breach the 50% mark. And capital expenditure in the near to medium term, what we're trying to show here is we know our annual budget for 2016-2017, and we're looking at the 5-year plan in terms of what we need to do. But what we're trying to show at the bottom in terms of that histogram is we have to revise our plan to cater for the 15% reduction in supply. And this is our debt profile, because we are one of the institutions that have bonds in the market, and it shows exactly when are they going to mature and when do we start to have we are servicing them all the time, but we need to make sure that we'll be able to repay the money that we go into the market to borrow. And this is our funding sources as well, without going too deep into it, our credit rating and our redemption reserve requirement table as well, in terms of by when are we supposed to mature the debt that we are borrowing in the market. And this is looking into the future in terms of the rainwater value optimization. And this really directs where the business is going in the future, looking at gearing up for growth, optimizing and capacitating internal business processes, looking at our infrastructure, human resources, and the role that we play in terms of key decisions that we can make. And the themes for the coming year will be focusing on water restrictions, auditor general, processes and presence, emerging risks, alignment to national government objectives and annual performance plan of the department, knowledge management, and our own value optimization. Thank you. Chair, what we did not do is the few slides that the chair of the Rainwater Board spoke about in terms of the projects that we are doing in Mpumalanga. We will be led by you in terms of whether we go deeper into that or not.
Thank you. Thank you, Rainwater team. We shall have to optimize on time. Let's welcome also those from COFTA, with the advice of coming from COFTA. Are there any of them here?
Yes.
Yes,
I'm from COFTA, Eastern Cape.
We have invited COFTA committee on in Parliament. Part of that.
No.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Thanks for being here. I also saw some of the officials from COPS as well. Then we're doing that because we want to close the gap as much as we can. as you might have heard that I was saying that also intervention by the water entity in the respective municipalities will also have to be presented here. So I know for a fact that Amatola Water has said something to that effect. So the reason why we also have invited COPTA department, which I take it that we are representing the department from the Eastern Cape, also would have to deal with such issues. We are trying to close the gap and force as much as we can work to be done by the COFTA department in any respective province together with the municipalities concerned. We also do or have invited, of course, the media and the public having to look at the program of Parliament. They choose whether to come or not. I take it that we have also members of the public here. Do we? Media? It's fine. The confusion out of Parliament has led us to the situation we're in now. Yesterday, when it was President Robert Mugabe's birthday, and today is the birthday of the Director General. We don't know what that means. He is short, as they say, dynamite. Comes in small packets. You dare not come close to him. Because they teach him. We're not going to tell his age. But one thing I can tell you is that he's older than me. That part I can confirm. He's my elder. We've come a long way. Without taking much of the time, I would impress upon members of parliament that we allow the two presentations to come through, and then we engage with both of those. Us taking notes, I think, will assist us in so far as making sure that we are following. I have been taking a few notes, and I speak for myself. And I trust that everyone of us is taking the paper from us. Amatola, if any comments make the PDF?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning to the Honourable Members and colleagues. Amatola Walker, board, we are 8 board members. 2 board members could not make it today due to the confusion on whether the board members are invited or not. We have since written a letter to the Chairperson apologizing on behalf of the 2 board members who couldn't make it. I'm Noglo Mamata, the chairperson of the board. With me, we've got on my left, Mr. Abraham Leroux, who is the chairperson of the HRC. Professor Low, who is a board member. Mrs. Mpoku Dimande is the chairperson of the Finance Committee. Mr. Ulysses Eugene, he is the chairperson of the
Let me see the hand.
And this committee.
If you can stand up, if you don't mind, because of the
This is Mr. Ethan Leroux, the chairperson of the Human Resources Committee. Prof. Lowe, who is the board member, Ms. Nicole Dimande, the chairperson of the Finance Committee, Mr. Eugene Yose, the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee, Mr. Brian Hollingworth, the chairperson of the Core Business. And the 2 board members who are not here is the deputy chairperson, Mr. Hadele, and Mr. Tuma Mbande, who is the member of the board. Thank you very much. In terms of the 2016 performance, Amatola Lobota has improved from the previous year. As we are all aware that the Amatola Water Board is a small board and it's a rural water board which is dependent on which has got clients who are also claiming to be indigent. So as a result of that situation, our income is quite low. But on overall performance, we have improved on the performance against predetermined targets. We have achieved 78% compared to the previous year of 69%. We've got unqualified audit opinion with no emphasis of matters. And we have made a profit of 7 million against a loss of 400,000 that we achieved last year. So I'll hand over to the CEO to take us through the detailed presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members, Chairperson. We will just get to the jugular of things, and you know, because we followed the template of the Department of Water and Sanitation, so we have cut to the chase. First part is overview of financial performance, and the second part is the non-financial performance. And this is just an overview of the financial performance. Revenue from Section 39, we are a water board, and according to the Water Services Act, we have we are operating mainly on Section 29, which is our core business of producing bulk water, and revenue from that section has increased by 8.9%. From 261 million to 285 million. And the revenue from Section 30, which is a secondary business, and mostly you know, assisting and doing work on behalf of municipalities, we have increased the revenue there by 54%. And other income, we have declined on the other income. And the expenditure of the business, 394, and you can see that, you know, there's a very close margin between the revenue made and the expenditure. The cost of sales, 285, 20% up. Operating and administrative costs, 11.4% up, at 120 million. And the finance income, you know, 102%. And the finance cost, at off about 372. So we are talking about a surplus as a result, and as the Chairperson has highlighted, of 7.3 million. And really, this is in the main of, you know, they're just accumulating debt in our secondary business. So the consolidated results indicate that you can look from the bottom, starting from the bottom of that chart, the revenue of 398, you know, cost of sales, fixed cost, basically the repeat of the previous slide, just in a nice, more presentable manner. The ratios, liquidity ratios, quite very much constrained. We are having 1.24 to 1%, and in the previous year it was 1.2. You know, 1.2 to 1. So the cash flow of operations, the cash and equivalents at the end of the year amounted to 300 million, up from the 120 million of the previous year. And the return on assets, really, we are almost like just hovering, because currently we are busy with our upgrades, so where we are upgrading our plants to provide more volume. So the return is quite constrained as well. The debtors days come a long way, where the, you know, we have improved from 343 days in just collecting you know, our debt to 161 in 2016. So we are really coming down, and this is due to strengthening of relations with key customers of clients. The expenditure outcome, you can see that, you know, the expenses, more expenses, you know, in the primary business of 231 million, the actual achieved against budget. In the secondary business, you know, 64 million against 124 million. And then on the support side, 121 against 124. So this is just the categorization of our expenses. And the composition of the cost drivers, you know, that's our key cost drivers. You know, we look at our, I think it's the largest one is the repairs and maintenance. The overhead is 36%, you know, just the color coding here. The overhead is the largest one with about 36%, followed by employee cost of 39%, and, you know, what are purchases of 20%, and then we go all along like that. So we can see from that just a categorization of where our cost drivers are coming from. And this is the detailed primary business activities, you know, the input cost to the chemicals, depreciation, diesel, electricity, and again we look at the employee costs that are quite high. You need own bodies, you need critical mass to actually start turning things around. And you know, you cannot do without those key you know, elements of your input cost. And then yeah, the financial the primary business, you know, financial performance, primary business, Amatola Water sold more in the period under review compared to the previous year. And the greater sales volume, you know, came from, you know, 9.1 in the, you know, which was sold compared to the, you know, greater sales. The sales of, you know, the greater sales are actually just to the raw water of about 9.1. Because as a water board, we also trade raw water, not only the purified water. And that is the highest increment. And the right of use volumes, some of them are Makana, because we are an O&M agreement in with Makana, where we operate their plants. You know, the increase of volumes came from there. But we know that Makana, again, is a problem child at this point in time for the organization. All that hard work is actually not paid for as we talk. So we are really estimating that on Makana, despite the fact that the figures are indicating that we are doing quite well to provide service and reach out to the access of these basic services to the communities of Makana. Adverse performance wasn't due to some unviable water treatment works, under recovery in terms of cost due to the volume of water produced. So it's just the economy of scale. You know, if you have many, schemes, you will not really recover full cost. We are having the RO plant, for instance, in Port Alfred, that we are running, and we all know what happens with the reverse of, you know, purifying the seawater into a drinkable state. It's a very, very expensive business. Major focus has been placed on improving production in this area through capital injection. Positive returns are expected in future. And we all know that this capital injection actually came through as a form of grant from the department of through treasury and of about $500,000 per acre of plants. We don't just make enough money, we don't make enough surplus to actually even invest in our CFX program. Emphasis was also placed on cost reduction measures, especially in the management of direct and overhead costs, and the utility continues to monitor standard costs, particularly against actual costs. Secondary business continuing again here, it's, all those you know, agreements that we have, and you look at our chemicals, the direct salaries, indirect salaries, and the present maintenance, depreciation, and overhead. And those are the comparative 2 years. Financial performance, secondary business activities are defined categorically under Section 3 of the Water Services Act. And engagement in secondary business activities has increased significantly by 54%, mainly due to the new Department of Public Works contract. Amatola Water has made significant strides in the PIA work, where we project implementation agents, mostly of the King Sabata and Dalin level local municipality, where we are implementing agents for a multi-regionalized upgrade of the infrastructure and trying to reach out to the actors of water in the communities in those areas. Administration costs, expenditure, indirect salaries, repairs and maintenance, depreciation and overhead, those are the comparative years that are actually on the up as far as that is concerned as the initial statistics indicate. Amatola Water support and administration costs comprise head office support services costs, salary costs, as well as repair and maintenance costs are the main contributors, especially in Makana, local municipality, and the Department of Public Works and provision for bad debts has increased due to the Makana municipality provision of 20 million, inclusive of that. We must indicate the honorable members this necessary giveaway of actually doing the secondary business and increasing again our core business, because we are constrained very much. Amatola Water produces not more than 120 megaliters. If you realize that, you know, that is the acquisition of rainwater of Bushwell Creek, which is standing at about 137 megaliters per day. Here we are constrained so much. And as the chairperson indicated, we are a rural water board that competes with local government. And I'm glad that's all in the house, because
you know, they are all but, you know, they are operating in home healthcare water services authority and healthcare water service provider. There must be segregation of those things. Bulk water provision must be for sale of the water. The institutions like Grand Water, like the Umgen, are doing well purely on the basis that in their area of supply, they are recognized as a water service provider. They are not a water service provider. Despite the fact that they are providing measures, that tends to believe that they have the capacity. Both of these are in our way.
Move to the next. Analysis of expenditure program. You know, again, here we look at the primary, being the highest one. At 54%, secondary 16%, and the support about 8%. Amatola Water did not incur unauthorized expenditure during 2015-2016. We are trying very hard to actually eliminate all type of things. So for the first time in the history of Amatola Water, it really achieved what we call the water. The regular expenditure, again here, and look at the procurement policy or legislation not adhered to in the awarding of bid, spending on non-existent contracts in which SCM procurement processes were not followed. It's very much more around planning issues, a lack of understanding of policy. So we are really augmenting in the hope, training. Here is the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which is only about 1,065 from 1.1 million. In the main here is all the interest at the end of the day incurred, because as an implementing agent, we are the middleman, and so we have to take the blame when we are unable to pay our suppliers, because we have to wait for money to come from the principal. So sometimes, because we are the one contracted with the supplier, when we are unable to pay in time, we are levied interest on what is outstanding. So it's very valuable type of amount of money. And the contingent liability is, once again, here we see that the key one is where the student was injured on site during the planned school visit. This is a long-awaited issue. Feel in the court in the court, and we cannot pronounce until such time that we will receive the judgment. Again, here, just about our unqualified for this opinion. This is just an overview of the performance indicators, analysis of our performance, employee to revenue. We're talking about 1.1 million. And we have achieved that. And so we have the return on assets of 0.5%. We have achieved 0.79% gross profit margin, 30% slightly down to 8.3%. And broad-based black economic empowerment, target of 100%, we have far exceeded our targets on the black economic empowerment. The surplus target is of 30 million and 7 million, and purely on the basis of the Makana debt. It's the one that has wiped out our surplus. CAPEX initiative targets for internally and externally funded capital expenditure programs have not been met. The challenges stem from lack of internal capacity in administration and management functions required to execute strategic water infrastructure projects. That is why we rely upon engagement of because most of the work, especially on the infrastructure based work, is the work that we are doing on behalf of others. And those contracts are not long-term. It's very difficult to build sustainable internal capacity on those projects. And the cost drivers and employee initiatives and the labor cost targets, as a percentage of total cost, has not been achieved. This is why it's not managing the data.
5 minutes.
Local municipality.
service provision. The long-term solution is to augment existing bulk waste supply within Bande. You can move to the next slide, Matt. Amatolo Water recently, now the implementation of the dry sanitation and the well-popularized or publicized dry sanitation in Amatolo District in Swahili. We received a directive, Amatolo Water received an imperial directive defining section 1 of the Water Services Act to accelerate the implementation of the dry sanitation appropriate solutions for Amatolo District in Swahili. This directive includes conducting a broader technical assessment, the amateur logistics business plan was completed, and the establishment of a multi-steering committee has been developed to see the progress of the project. We have appointed Irocon here to put the record because you will see some disingenuous publications. On here, Irocon has been appointed as a service provider in this project. And what we are intending to do is to see all the contracts that were under the Amatora to see the implementation of this project. So this project has been properly planned at this point in time. And all what we are waiting at this point in time is to confirm the budget for to get the budget released from the department to get to the ground running on this one. But all the preparatory work up to now has been completed. Thank you very much, honorable members.
Thank you. Members, those are the two submissions from the two entities. Those are the areas that require intervention. And perhaps Rainwater having had no expectations as far as any intervention. We certainly did get an invitation from Amatola Water on some areas of intervention. As a result, we invited COPTA department from the province to the MEC and also the respective district municipalities. I think it's one from the Eastern Cape. If we cannot just get any comments from COPTA, and lastly from the district. And some interventions. And your role as COPTA in the problem. And again, what we're trying to do here is to foster and force cooperation within the respective spheres of government and the areas that they are expected to be involved in. COPTA and water and sanitation, we cannot separate the two.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. From the Eastern Cape COPTA Department, yes, honorable members, I can confirm and attest to a number of issues that have been raised by our...
Can your name, if you don't mind? Just introducing yourself, sorry.
Oh, sorry, Chair. Honorable Chair, my name is Chicho Majavu. I'm the Director responsible for Municipal Infrastructure Services within the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs in the Eastern Cape. I'm here to represent the MEC who was invited to this session. Fortunately, as a component, we have been involved in the coordination of sector support in the two municipalities that have been mentioned, especially the Magana, which has instituted section 139. And then that was then de-established to section 154, support to the municipality, which is Magana. There has been involvement of the COPTA coordinating all the sector departments and injected some financial support to the municipality. But in the main, the water board was the main driver of the support to the municipality. Starting from 2011, I believe up to this stage, and also ECDC as part of the provincial intervention also came on board to provide financial support to the municipality, which was then seen to be improving in terms of the water supply to the town, especially Grand Town, which is the resident of the road in the city. So there has been a lot of improvement and a less protestation by communities because of such interventions by the team that was established by our Honorable MEC, who were a part of the product team that came to the rescue of that municipality. So in all, I can say at COCTA, we are still part of the support in partnership with Provincial Treasurer, who has also administratively deployed personnel in the finance section within that municipality of Magana. And there is continued support, a mild support in terms of Section 154 by a joint task team from the presidential intervention, presidential commission, infrastructure commission. And also from COCTA National, we are also in partnership. We sit regularly, bi-monthly, to monitor the improvement. And also the arrangement between the COCTA and also the Magana and Sarah Batman as recipients or the administrators of the MIG, whilst we are building the capacity in that municipality. The funds have been redirected to Sarah Batman so that they could administer the payments and ensure that the smooth provision of services and payments of service providers in that municipality. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, noting the presentation of our team, there's a lot that has been given. One, let me acknowledge the intervention that has been done. Because when things went wrong in Makana, we were all looking as to what then is happening. In Sarah Batman, the present municipality, currently, the status quo is that our municipality are the authority and the provider when it comes to water. It's only now that we are embarking on how then we think the function being taken to the municipality, looking at the challenges also that are being faced by the municipality. Chair, it is true that there are challenges in Zambe, Makana, but we are coming there. But how soon that is a question. I'm noting, Chairperson, that within the allocation of Amadola budget, when it comes to salary, the amount is high. But when it comes to maintenance and for chemicals, there's almost nothing. Now the question is, Amadola is an agency, if I'm correct, of the department. If the standard of water of the municipality cannot be saved by Amadola, then where are we to go? Unless it is said that the money that we have to the municipality. Because purification, we rely on, what is this water? Borehole water. The entire district is relying on that one. And borehole water has no guarantee. We are facing those challenges. I just want to check, when maintenance and chemicals is not being prioritized, what then is to happen, and you have to talk about blue drop and green drop. That you must comply with. The other one, Chairperson, I need to check. Maybe this one is controversial, I'm not sure. When you take a municipality, correctly as the presenter has said, Makana is having its own challenges, of which I don't think at this point in time we can say that they have accrued sufficient funding, and you take them to court. What are the implications? I just need that clarity. But to sit down, Chairperson, yes, we went to a water symposium, which was not a high-level one because we had to start somewhere. Four municipalities have been identified, even by the minister, as to say these municipalities, they need urgent intervention. Except the two that has been mentioned, we have Sandeep River and we have Gogama. What is the support? As I'm talking, Chairperson, it's now the second year where Ado in Sandeep River is struggling. In December, people had to go and get water from the river, which is not safe. Currently, the water is pumped. The pump is working 12 a.m. People are to go to the depth at that time to collect water. During the day, there is nothing and it is hot. I just need an update as to what are they doing, because I know it is Amadola who is supposed to be moving around in those areas. I thank you.
Okay, thanks, Deputy Mayor. There are a few areas that we have been able to deal with in the past week. One of those is your municipal debt. These are monies owing to the water board. We have agreed that we shall have to convene all the water boards and get a sense as to how best we are going to deal with this problem. In one municipality, or a water entity, Citibank, the debt goes as far as 4 billion rand, am I right? 2.5 billion. The point where you are going to pull all of these together with the respective municipalities that are owing with their respective MEC. This is one area that we seemingly are agreed upon. The one other area that requires a standard way of addressing is your maintenance. Maintenance by the respective water boards. This is a matter that keeps coming up from all these respective water boards. I would have been curious from Randwater to because they mentioned something about continued theft of cables among them. There has been a legislation that has been taken up its conclusion by the police department that deals with stringent measures to be applied by any such transgressor. Today, if we are still to continue talking about those that steal such infrastructure, an example for some reason must be made. One would be listening and hearing and be so keen to understand as to whether have we been able to make any such example for those that continue to steal. I just thought, let me just make those few comments. Of course, the last comment that I also wanted to raise, because I see in the two respective entities that they are still privately audited. The other day, I think it was Citibank, it was Mahalis, that was indication to us that it was Citibank, I remember, that this financial year certainly is the last, and the Auditor General
had taken a view that annually two of these water entities must be taken up by the respective by the Auditor General, whether what gets to be the situation. And then, of course, another observation that I was making with the two, frankly speaking, I did not make any such with the previous one. The two entities that reported, the formatting of their respective annual report is not the same. There is no consistency there. You're going to hear Rainwater, you know, when they talk, you know, the group, the business, as if, you know, they are a board, but, you know, they would really, you know, wish in their terminology, talk of themselves as a group, you know, CEO and so on. Now, what one is really trying to put across there, you also assist, I must say, have a whole list of your board members from your Rainwater, but when you look at Amatola Water, you don't have any such, you know, paper two that talks about. Now, these are some of the issues that are supposed to be simple and straightforward as part of formatting. You need to inform the reader without you being there that this is who you are. This is the report that you are presenting to whoever. So the reader is able to read outside of you and be able to understand and follow. So that's in a nutshell what I'm trying to put across. Consistency, that's the point. I guess this is a matter that really resides in your stable advocate thing as to how you really get to put up those, if you like, templates for the respective water boards. And then the last point I really wish to make, Mr. Baker, talking about, you know, the language, you know, this is our business is doing well, you know, we've made, you know, we've got these assets and these liabilities, it's fine. But the language also, in a developmental trajectory, for me, these two not match. When wherein you are to talk about business, granted, yes, there has to be returns on any investment, but leaning more towards, you know, achieving your agenda towards a developmental stage. So these are developmental institutions, if you like. In themselves, cannot and may not pretty much be emphasizing on business. That could be a debatable issue, but the language can say so much about whoever you are representing. I just picked it up as I was listening to some of the members, the presenters. Okay, any takers?
Unfortunately that they are not here.
and they'll have some issues to discuss with them. I just want to understand whether she had a discussion with them, because that municipality, it's not servicing their debt with Amazon. And I understand that water service authority, they received funding from Treasure with regard to that. So I wish she had a discussion with them so that we understand as far as where they stand with regard to their debt. Taking into consideration, Chair, that Amatole it's a very small board compared to Renwald and Citibank and your Makalu. But again, the space in which they operate is a very risky space, where they deal only with municipalities and poor municipalities for that matter. And we just wanted to engage with the municipality of the country. Chair, I want the department to explain the issue of the dry sanitation in Amatole district municipality. Our understanding was that that space belonged to COP. And Amatole Water Board has received direct with regard to that. So we want to understand, can the department explain what is happening? DG? And Coctor, Eastern Cape, can as well they explain the actions that they are taking with regard to the undergroup? With regard to the very same project, Chair. Because you will understand that this is their space as Coctor. Can they explain to us? Amatole, the issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, can you get an explanation? The only thing that I heard was the CEO complaining, and I could not get a sense as to what actually happened, how it came about. Can you explain? The staff component, I understand you are still within the 30% mark. I think which is very good, but can you explain how big is your staff component? The debtor says, I have a problem, Chair. And again, Randall, I regret. You know, I always give them thumbs up when it comes to their debtor things. And I'm worried that now they are regressing. Can you explain on what actions are you taking to ensure that you are within the distance that is required by you? We requested, Chair, that Randwater should brief the committee in relation to their intervention in Mpumalanga. The sea was very, very much conservative in terms of their work that they are doing in that particular province and the impact thereof. Because of the committee will be visiting Mpumalanga, will want to check the project that the water board is implementing in that space. There's an anomaly here, Chair. One day we were requested to go to the Corporate Portfolio Committee. The committee was not forming a quorum. And Honorable Baton and the colleagues who were there, there was an argument, Chair, whether certain member of the portfolio committee, because the issue which they were dealing with happened in a particular municipality where that portfolio member was waiting there. So when we arrived there, they wanted us to vote on that matter, which was unnecessary, I think. But the issue that I want to to talk about, Chair, is Mohale City is owing Randward and again the anomaly that I want to talk about is that the DG is the former MM of Mohale City and now is the DG of the department. You know, it's an anomaly because Randwater will demand payments from the DG, who was the former MM of the Mohale City. So it creates an anomaly there.
I now demand payment from Randwater.
You demand payment from Randwater. So I think it's good. I think he will be able to assist Randwater to get money from Mohale City. Those are the issues that I want to raise, Chair, in the nutshell. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Mr.
Busson?
Chairperson, I just want to help my colleague. There's a new government in Mohale City, they will pay Randwater. If they have not made arrangement yet, they will do that. Chairperson, if I start with Randwater, you know, Randwater's net profit is, 2.4 billion. Now, I've got a question. I assume your normal usage is about 4,500 megaliters of water per day that you purify and you supply about 12 million people with water. If I use the norm of the Research Council, there's about a loss in the reticulation of the municipalities of about 36%. That means that 1,575 megaliters per day are lost. Now the question to you is, would it not be good practice, since you are one of the biggest water boards, your income is, I think you're in a better state than the department itself at this stage. And I was wondering whether it should not be good practice for you to invest some of your money, not in infrastructure, but into reticulation within those municipalities. Because we sit with a scarce commodity, and if we lose 1,500 megaliters per day, and you've got to increase, let's say, 5 years from now, there's 15 million people that's going to use water, you've got to increase your capacity of your plant. But there is a possibility, and I'm not saying that you should do it for free. I know you're there to make also money, but to invest in assisting those municipalities, and even if you then put a charge to the price of water, increasing the price of water, those municipalities would save. I know Ekurhuleni budget for in the region the previous financial year, they budget for a water loss of 500 million rand. It's a lot of money that's been paid by the consumers eventually. So I'd just like your take on that one. Chairperson, then the second question is bonuses paid. Could we get what bonuses are paid by Randwater? What is the amount? Who determines the amount and who approves it? So if we can get that from Randwater. And when I get to Amasolo, I've got a question for COPTA as well. Actually, we have now discussed this. We had Chris Arnie And while COCTA is here, and there was a sense, if I misunderstood you, then they must just then rectify me, is that I got the sense that Amatola wants to be the service provider in those district municipalities. Now, Chris, Harney District Municipality took over from the municipality, and as we speak here today, no meter readings, no accounts, no payment. Incredible. Who's carrying that bill? Who's owing who money? The second question is also bonuses. I also would like to know what bonuses are paid, who determines these bonuses, and who approves it. And then the last question is, you've been appointed as the implementing agent on the Noord-Kalak scheme. A scheme that's going to cost more than 400 in the region of 450 million rand, that's more or less your budget for the year on one project. Do you have the capability to be the implementing agent on that project? One, two, although I have asked the DG questions, but while you are here, are the funding on that project, is it made available? And for this year, the budget was 76 million on that project. How much money have you spent in the 16-17 year? I know it's got nothing to do with the budget. I did use the opportunity while you are here just to get a clarification on that. Thank you, Chair.
Amatolo is my mother's surname. The water board is called Amatola.
Okay, so thank you. Sorry, Chair.
But
they know they're
the same place.
Mrs. Baker? Thank you, Chair. Previous two speakers have covered much of what I wanted to ask. But Redwater, on page 15 and 16 of your slides, you've got pushback ledger, the default debtors, on page 15. I don't see anything on page 16. Have they now settle that debt, or can you give us further information on the status of that debt? And I know you don't, you're not responsible for self infrastructure, but have there been any kind of, not intervention, but kind of a discussion? Have you had any discussions with Tshwane and Johannesburg, Velvet Metro, on increased storage capacity of water? Because as we know, much of the water outages that they have been experiencing over the past 2 years has got very little to do with drought and everything to do with lack of storage capacity. Where you've got your increased human settlement, but you're not increasing the amount of water that's been, storage that's been stored to supply. Are you involved at all in any on any level to try and increase the storage capacity of here so that we can mitigate these water shortages? And then Amatola here, the rapid response unit, how serious is the in Makana local municipality, how serious are these protests? Are we seeing an increase in protests for water? What is actually going on? Give us an idea of what's going on in the area. And how much has actually been spent? This is a funded project. How much has been spent on these emergency repairs? Would we not be better suited to rather have proper infrastructure maintenance plans in place rather than have a fund set up just for emergency repairs? It doesn't really make sense. And there's obviously an issue with the quality of water being supplied to Makana. Perhaps Amatola can explain to us. And the quality of water, where the increased high turbidity and total dissolved solids concentration that you speak of on one of the slides in the Makana presentation. Have we identified the source of this pollution? Have we taken any action to mitigate investigate it or to deal with the perpetrators? If you could give me some of that information, please. And your long-term, what be your long-term plans in Lambe local municipality water supply? I see the long-term plan is to augment the existing bulk water supply within the district from the country region. Does that then have sufficient capacity? Have we done the necessary assessment, environment assessment study to ensure that we're not overcapacitating that area? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our one focus to welcome the two presentations from the two
Board.
I will start by asking the following to Dr. Edward. When you are reading the articles and the presentation, yeah, I noted that they said that they created jobs, 12 and 12, and which are permanent and contract, and also direct and indirect, 5,000 liters and 50. I would have loved that they take up a permanent and a contract, and also the direct and indirect, so that we know exactly what was when. On the issue of irregular and fruitless expenditure, I'm a bit perplexed when the issue of non-compliance on policy implementation, on the issue of travel. You say people were claiming from home to work, and that was not understood. How do you do your reduction to your own members, to your own staff members, to know exactly how to implement or how to do policy? And also in the issue of supply chain. I was not very much convinced if you say people are doing we need and which end up to irrigate the finish. On the bad debt by municipalities, it is common knowledge now, it has been something that has been occurring for nearly 2 years. Do you have any long-lasting strategy to force municipalities to pay? I like the one for that has been done by ESCOM. I like that one. You go to EDAS, you take something, if you don't pay, something is going to happen. Finish a class. I think Honorable Makondo has said mentioned on the issue of the activities in Pumalanga. We want to know where, what, if possible, how long. And also, if you can add there on the challenges encountered in incorporating the primary and also the secondary activities that needed or need to be completed by you. So that when you get there, we know what are the secondary that you incorporated, what are the primary activities that you incorporated. Amatona. I don't want to be caught. Amatola. Yeah. On the issue of irregular training, the previous year, irregular expenditure. The previous year, you say the same thing. But you know, we have got this issue because our members still need training.
Kani, this training is everlasting. It does not stop. Where you say now, we have trained you now on the supply chain management. We have graduated. Now, if you commit to one and the same mistake now, we're going to take actions against you. Is it only science? Endless. Many words can be put in. How long do you do your training? And how do you make your members to account? What steps are you taking to against the staff members who are not doing their job? The issue of the student that was injured, I have seen that it's written almost five, I don't know, because now we just write those things. You don't indicate to us millions, thousands, or you understand? How much has been claimed from, and what can you give us the detail of that student? Can you give us the details of that student who just injured or just injured in the, when they had a visit there? As part of your when the CEO was presenting, you in your when you're explaining, you mentioned the indigency issue. My understanding on the issue of indigence is that municipalities have got a register of indigence. And are you also having, or did you verify with municipalities? Those, because these people, I'm supposed they're getting something like, they're getting grant from the president of indigence. So that it's all things related to water may be paid for. The board, does the board have any verification of those issues? Then the mayor indicated his salam, the issue of salam. Hey, he says when it comes to maintenance, she said that the low funding, when it comes to salam, everyone gets paid on time, high amounts. If I can be told, if the committee can be told, and how is your salary scale here? The highest paid and the lowest paid, and the issue of bonuses, how do you determine it? So that we can check, the money is going this way or that way, and we try to get there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just have a few questions, beginning with the Rand water. Going to that, the issue that's been raised by many of my colleagues this morning with regards to the debt. I don't want to preempt the discussions that the Chair said we're going to be having with regards to, broader issues of debt amongst other municipalities, but I just want to focus specifically on Umfaleni. You'll see that there's a ballooning of debt with regard to that municipality. And there is a plan, it says here, there's an arrangement that's been entered into for 217 million rand to be paid over 10 months. And maybe just coming specifically to the question, what happens at the end of those 10 months if that money isn't recovered? Again, what actions are going to be taken? And the big question we have is, are those actions going to have an impact on the service delivery to the communities with regards to water? So maybe just using Umfaleni as a case study, what you'll do in a situation where in fact there is a defaulting elevation on. Then moving on, looking at the slides on slides 8 and 9 on fruitless expenditure, I just want to put the supply chain non-compliance under a microscope. You say that the processes adopted for obtaining quotations weren't correct, and this is part of the reason why you have an irregular expenditure. Can you please unpack that for us? What specifically happened there? And also, what is the projected timeline of resolution so that you can actually apply for condemnation? Because obviously this needs to resolve. This is a significant amount of money in terms of your irregular expenditure. Then with regards to, on page 9, the fraud is very concerning. And the question I think we have is that 2.9 million, is that one or two incidences of fraud, or are there multiple cases of fraud? Because if it's a large number of cases, then you've got a systems problem. And what controls, if you could just
place to ensure that this doesn't happen again. And so that's with the Renwater. Then with regards to Amatola, Chair isn't here, so I'm taking a chance. Amatola, with regards to Amatola, a few questions, beginning on slide 12, rather. The 7 million rand, the presenters spoke about a factor that wiped out the surplus. Can you just remind us as to what that is? And also, what is the impact now on having such a great reduction going into a reserve fund? Does that put you in a bit of a shaky a condition financially, that your reserve fund may in fact be depleted or certainly isn't as robust as it should have been? With regards to the issue of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, this 1.6 million is in fact a large amount of money. If you consider the fact that 7 million is a surplus, 1.6 million is actually a significant amount of money. And I know that it was mentioned that this is interest, but this has to be rectified. What interventions are you putting into place to ensure that this in fact is rectified? Otherwise, your audit opinion is going to continually come back affected by that. And then the last question I have is, and of course this is a formal parliamentary process, even though we are in a slightly difficult environment, this is a formal process, so this is formal testimony. Does both of the water boards, does the National Department of Health currently owe either of the water boards money? I can please tell us that for the record. Thank you. Sorry, I apologize, the Department of Water and Sanitation. Does the Department of Water and Sanitation, I came from the Health Portfolio Committee, I apologize. Does the DWS owe either of the two water boards any money? Thank you. Apologies.
Obami, no message for Sean Carver on your Rudoma Pamba. But what I'm not known booze or wood is. I want a masculine one with George. F. With cable. Never my food. Number two loose. Kunanginzo kahle bese siphinde sikhuluma ngokutshosha kwama laptop ifraud leyo ukuntshola ukugebengu obukhona kwa Renwater kodwa okhombisa ukuthi noma ubani njengoba nami ngihlekile letafula lami ngilelunge lokuthi ngiyintshontshele nomnyentshontshe ngabe obani laba sibe babambile mababombile bavelane nenkantolo ngoba la bawubheka kukhombisa ngathi umsebenzi lobugebengu kula babodla bantshontsha ama-cable outside babodla bantshontsha i-front ngathi umsebenzi ohamba kanye kanye bese ngihamba futhi ngizongena lapho amatola amatola eyi angazi uma ekhuluma lapho umthonisho wami ethula ngimlalelile khona la ngimthande khona ngoba ulivezile iqinise ukuthi abantu balapha amanzi awekho thina-ke silabantu abalandelayo izinto awekho amanzi ematolo kanjalo nasemakana nasemandlambi okubuhlungu lapha kade kwakukhulunywa kube sangathi kuba khona abazokwenza kanti ngempela inkinga yabo ikuphi ngiyakuzwa uyakhuluma impela uyakwazi ukuthi ukhombise ukuthi nawe ukanye nabo nabantu abanenkinga ngifuna ukwazi-ke mina yini isiqiniseko senzayo ukuthi abantu bathole amanzi acocekile ngikushiswe lokho ukuthi abantu balapha yani amanzi abaphuzayo khona ugogo ntovele ewasha ku-403 umdabusile lapho njengobe sikazi udaba lakhona ayethi amanzi abanawo bahlula ngisho ukuhlamba izimpahla amanzi bawakha emfuleni nawo lo mfula futhi ungcolile ngoba khona nalendle phakathi ingakho ngibuza ukuthi yini indlela ongasithembisa ngayo ukuthi amatraki maye abantu ayanamanzi acocekile okwesibili amanzi wenza show ukuthi awukumphakathi ongawathuli ngoba imvamisa amathaga kayi kubantu and khona into naphakulina sawubuya simtshele kahle khona lakuvela khona ukuthi amanzi agcine sedayiswa uma ungenawo imali yokuthenga la manzi awukwazi ngapha enorthwest ngithi semahalisi bongixolela uma ngekhona ngakhona futhi udaba lakhona ngilibonile uzwa ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi siphi siqinikesekise ukuthi la manzi eniwafaka kojojo eniwafaka emathaki ema-tracking wayise abantu acocekile umphakathi walapho uthole amanzi agcolile anenkathi phakathi and ngempela siyocela ukuthi ake sifundeni ukuthi isithunzi somuntu sihlonishwe ngoba ukungcono ukuvela ungani ngabaniki indloko amanzi bazohamba niyobakhelela amanzi kwawena ongeke uwaphuze and akubuhlungu laba ukuthi njalo lo saxoxa and ngoba uma uthi uyabheka lana le mnyango ephambi kwethu ayikhombisi ngempela ukuthi uyaya kubantu and omasipala siyoxela ukuthi benze show ukuthi laba bantu bangababuthathi ngokuthi ba-right ngokuvota njengoba esuke eyovota eqinisweni sukanalokuvotela i-organization ethile usuke evotela ukuthi athole ipilo engcono amanzi ngibuyela kule yemisebenzi le msebenzi hayi kimina ngizwa kahle ngoba eqinisweni uma uthi uyasikhuluma ngeyemisebenzi niyakwazi ukuyisho ukuthi nizamile amathuba angalo emsebenzi kodwa egcinele ukuthi uyathola abantu khona ayikho leyo nto ake niyeke ukuthi nibhekelele imindeni nezihlobo bekubhekelele abantu ngiyabonga
Just summarize, we're running out of time.
Thank you, Jefferson. On page 9 on Rainwater, it talks about criminal cases and talks about theft of labels, theft of all laptops, and also fraud. So now, what is appearing there it seems that these are done by different people from the outside and the inside. So we would like to know what or who are those people and when are they appearing in court? Have they been charged or not? And also, there's no water in Makana and Matavi. They have been saying they will do something about this, but nothing has been done. And what have you done to make sure that they have people have purified water? Because on Channel 43, an old lady was saying that they don't have water. Even if they were to get water from the rivers, the water is not clean. And also there's a problem with water there, which we need to know whether, how do you make sure that people get purified water? Because in some cases, they do distribute water to people. But then we once heard that in one of the Jojos, there was a dead cat that was found inside that Jojo. Also, people, if they vote for municipalities, they don't just vote just because they support a certain organization, but they vote because they want a better life. They want to be supplied with their needs. So when it comes to a job opportunity, it is not clear about job opportunities because there are people that you find that they apply for jobs but then they don't get jobs. Sometimes it is the relatives of the managers or the people that are on top that get jobs. Thank you. Thanks very much, sir. Chair, on the page 7, on the issues of key performance indicators, the targets were not met.
what is the reason for this? And the second question on Amatola, on page 7 again, could you please clarify and explain your equality ratio and its implications for the financial sustainability of both? And the last question, I came in the Northwest. There is no area of Makani. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you. The mic.
Yeah.
To Honorable Bilankul. Honorable Bilankul.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I would like to know is from Amatola. The speakers that spoke before me, I think they also indicated the issue of wasteful and fruitless expenditure. I just assume that happens because of lack of leadership. And another thing is that all the report, the way it has been stated, to me is not clear. If we can take the two reports, one from Rainwater and one from Amatola, you can see that the one from Rainwater is full of flesh. But that other one, you just assume. It's not clearly stated. Can you please, next time, make sure that when you are coming to present your report, it's clearly stated that one can understand, even if that person is just sitting on his or her own corner. Your audit opinion also, you said you received unqualified. And we are not so sure whether it's that audit opinion with matters of emphasis or not. The data says, you said it's 161. How many targets did you achieve and how many didn't you achieve? And what makes that data's delay? Because it's not clearly, it's not mentioned there. What was your challenges? The litigations, you indicated that it has been raised up to 19.7 million. What went wrong? Then, yes, for Rainwater, I think your report is clear. You indicated the challenges. Where you didn't meet the target, there are some explanation on it. Keep it up. Thank you.
Honorable Chairman.
Thank you. Good question. I'm just looking to the issue of failure to comply with a supply chain management. On page 8 of the Rainwater. Is it because they don't have the supply chain management cycle? Because we can't afford to understand that someone doing the job with the invalid tax certificate, whereas there is a specification committee, evaluation committee, adjudication committee, and award committee. So all these committees are not able to detect that the certificate, tax certificate, is invalid. Also the issue of, the reimbursement to the staff for traveling. Surely somebody is entrusted to approve those how come that that is not seen and it's taking a long time? Then when you go to the Amadola on page 9, line number 18, overspending on expired contract. It says irregular expenditure relates to residual contracts for the fleet management, and this transaction will continue to be irregular until new contract has been entered into to SCM. So but there's no time frame that tells. It says up until. That way is very, very open for us to conclude that there is a step that has been taken to stop them. It says up until the supply chain committee is in place. I don't know how can you help us now that we understand that it's going to stop, but there is a time frame so that we understand when you leave here. But one must appreciate if it's true that Amadola Water did not incur any unauthorized expenditure. I think one must appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The speakers before me, Honorable Chair, have covered you. But I just want to check with you in slide 15 under the point. I can see the municipalities as we have been today. But I want to understand the question of Royal Mafeking Nation as to how that kind of a debt was approved. Just to get a clarity on that one. Then on Amadola, I understand that Magana local municipality consists of 14 wards, in which three are found in the rural areas. I just want to get a sense as to how the water is supplied in those rural wards. If the water is supplied by means of boreholes and so on and so forth, I just want to get a clarity on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can we? I don't think there's going to be a last round. In the absence of any, we can then request the DG of the Department of Water and Sanitation to take, then we'll go to Rainwater Chair, and Rainwater, and then Amadola, and Cox.
Maybe just before the DG comes in, part of your cost drivers, then what you mentioned, 24% that goes to energy. Last time I checked, you were going to be involved in a renewable project for energy. Whether or not this will tilt us, things differently. And where are we with regard to that renewable project? So, I would imagine that is one of the things that certainly, I wanted to talk about the coordination. The other day, we listened to one of the water entities that was suggesting that and perhaps this is one of the things might wish to respond to your DG and the DG. The matter for coordination only resides in so far as your water board is concerned. But what I do hear from water, Rainwater, is that this is a matter that is subject for National Treasury advice. So we need to be guided on that one. And also, if you don't mind, also advising us on the specific regulatory, I would imagine this should be a matter that the National Treasury looks into. If you can just guide us on that one, so that there is a standard set in this regard, and no one just does whatever she or he wants so far as condemnation is concerned. Those are the two areas of thought. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll allow the DDG team to respond to some questions.
Thank you. I want to thank the honorable members for wishing our DG a very happy birthday. In advance of his birthday. Thank you. Chairperson, honorable members, this is our second set of presentations to this committee. Obviously, we take all the comments and the questions seriously, and we look to guidance and leadership of the committee in directing the work from an oversight perspective on the committee and its entities. And this house is the house to which the department and its entities account. Chairperson, on the issue of the condemnation, the PFMA and the Treasury regulations is the enabling guiding legislation on that one. So if the entity incurs irregular expenditure, fruitless expenditure, etc., the process is that they make a submission to the accounting authority, which is the board. For the board, through its audit committee and through the full committee, for the full board sitting, to condone. And condone is not just to say rubber stamp and say it's okay. They must demonstrate that disciplinary action has been taken, or look into the reason, the investigation as to why this happened, and then sometimes the condemnation is granted and sometimes not. But the fiduciary duty of the board as the accounting authority, that is within their purview to grant condemnation or not to grant condemnation. And that is the guiding legislation. The National Treasury may be informed if it's a significant amount or something that requires further investigation or further action, but ordinarily, the responsibility for the condemnation lies with the accounting authority. In the departments, it lies with the DG, who is the accounting officer of the department. So the PFMA is clear on that. The other questions that were posed to the department, one of the honorable members asked the question on the dry sanitation. So the thinking around the dry sanitation is that in a country which is water scarce, do we have to continue to rely on waterborne sanitation solutions? So the Water Research Commission basically did some research and looked at comparative studies of other countries like India and a few other places, and came back to say that we could, and the ministers made a pronouncement that we could start to look at where dry sanitation is possible. So it is a kind of ventilated improved latrine system, and it's a basic decent sanitation. Now, given the fact that the majority of the people in this country and the majority of the people in this room, and I won't give away the age, grew up in the era of buckets and bucket experience. Now, people then want to, when they move into their homes in the communities, in the suburbs, they want to experience waterborne flush toilets.
So the dry sanitation is still something that people could resist, but the department and the ministers made this clear that we need to look into and do more than just the research. We need to come up with solutions because the country is water scarce. So the dry sanitation solution is something that is part of the new technology, and research and innovation of the department working with our Water Research Commission. So that was the directive that was given to Amatola Water Board in terms of the district municipality. The rest of the questions, Chairperson, I'll pass to Rand Water, the Chairperson and the CE, and then we'll pass to the Chairperson and CE of Amatola. And then if we have a follow-up, then we can take the other ones. Thank you.
Chair, I think first of all I'd like to acknowledge your comments about the format and the language of the annual report, and maybe not appropriately reflecting a country with a developmental agenda, and indicate that we sit in a very schizophrenic situation where we are about the developmental agenda and our mandate is squarely around that. But we also are an entity that raises money on the JSE, and simultaneously as we're speaking to an audience that wants to hear us speak the language of the developmental agenda, we also need to speak the business language that reflects us as an entity into which business can invest. But we will reflect on that and work out how exactly do we talk to our multiple stakeholders in a way that resonates to each of the stakeholders. It's an interesting point, as you said, it's a very debatable point as well. And then I'd like to answer the question that Honorable Bassong raised on the issue of bonuses, and indicate that bonuses are regulated, first of all, by a regulation issued by the minister. So there's a DWS overarching regulation. Rand Water has its own policy and procedure documents that guide how this is done. The process of it is that the HR committee, first of all, deliberates on the issue of bonuses, and it also goes to the audit committee and then comes to the board. The external auditors verify the information, and especially the performance information, because it's a performance-based system. It's not really a bonus for doing a job, because bonuses related to being able to achieve stretch targets and driving high performance. It is a capped system. No one may earn more than 45% of the package as a bonus. And the way we look at it is that it's a three-tier system. We look at the individual and the contribution they make, so their individual performance. We look at the division that they work in and whether that division has achieved its KPA and fulfilled on its mandate. And then we look at the corporate scorecard, which is what is included here in the slide. It's a three-tier system, and weighted differently for individuals in different parts of the organization. That goes into a method of calculating your bonus. And then in relation to the bonuses for executives and senior managers, we disclose in our annual report the individual bonuses. I've lost the page, it's been so long since you asked the question, but I can direct you to that. But 13.3 million is divided amongst the top 14 employees. The bonuses are approved by the board, and in the case of the seven top officials, those also go to the minister for agreement or concurrence or approval of the board recommendation before they agree out. So in the interest of time, I think that it's a kind of synopsis. I don't know if you want me to go further into it, but that's really how the system is.
Ring fence, even those that are ring fence, they still cross subsidize the other part of the municipality.
We need to deal with that before we get to say somebody else needs to put their funding in that particular space, because I think it's a bigger issue that has a whole lot of other issues to consider. From our side, what we try to do as well, I think in the previous years we also came and said we were engaging with SAUGA and the municipalities to actually hold 1% of the sales to them in terms of creating a fund that can be used to assist some of the municipalities. But with the new councils coming in and some of them struggling, it's those that are not contributing to the 1% that actually wanted to have access to this particular fund. And some of the municipalities said by themselves that they want to do this by themselves. So because they are a separate tier of government, there was not much we can do in terms of that. But all I'm saying on this particular matter, there are a whole lot of other things that might be reasons why municipalities are not able to pay. And I think in the past there's been a lot of discussions where we're saying there's enough allocation made at fiscal as directed by parliament, but whether that money ends up being used for what it's supposed to, because each municipality then cross-subsidizes. And that has to be resolved before we get to the other issue, but I know there is a problem that we still need to deal with. The reservoir storage capacity for municipalities, again, we are saying in the next 5 years, on our side, we will be spending 7% of over 16 billion on reservoir to increase storage capacity. But as well, on the scientific side of it, we need to also understand that the longer you hold water, even in a reservoir, it starts degrading at a particular point in time. So there's a fine balance that you need to have in terms of saying, this water has been purified and it's been stored in a reservoir, because if you take too long having that water in there, then you start having chlorine degradation, and the quality and the tap would be very different. That's why it's really a science behind saying, this is how this reservoir has been utilized, and you need to keep the water flowing. So there might be issues that says it relates to capacity from a point of view of storage, but that in itself as well, there's a lot of science behind it, because you also don't want to give people water that is degraded, and some of the very strong scientific requirements such as the residual chlorine are actually compromised as we do that. So it's something that we are engaging with the municipalities on, but like I said, on our own side, we're looking at expansion of 7% of 16 billion, just looking at reservoirs in the next 5 years. The issue of non-compliance, maybe I need to start with the one that relates to the fraud. The fraud was a once-off issue, and it was not related to Renota staff at all. It was a matter of saying we had a contract in place with a contractor, but then the contractor inflated their costs, especially in terms of number of consultants that they had on the ground, and even in terms of the hours. But because as we do this project, we actually go and actually check and verify some of the work, we found out that they had inflated by their numbers by about almost 3 million. But what we also said is half of that we've already recovered, and we have an agreement with them that they will actually be repaying the rest of the money, but we have opened a criminal case as well. So it was a once-off case that is isolated, and it did not include the staff. I think on the issue of traveling, we are also quite worried with this, but perhaps I need to explain how this came about. It's a matter of this thing of home, work, home, especially when people are going on a business trip, where people who claim from home and say, I went to a particular, when they are not coming to work, but they are going somewhere else where there's business. The regulation that has been adjusted says, you need to look at the distance between home, work, and where you're going. Now, people were claiming directly from home, not looking at it from business, to say, home to business, you need that one you need to discount before you look at moving from there, even if you're moving from your own place to where you're going. So there's been subtle changes in terms of what the requirements are. And again, there is this state of flux in terms of changes that are coming from traders. And I think one of the challenges has been the issue of change management in terms of applying this. But as we were going through these things, that's why we were able to pick this thing up. But we are taking everybody through the whole process and making sure that we are retraining. But it was not just a normal thing where we say somebody has claimed coming from, moving from home to work. It was related to outside meetings or whether going to the department and all that. So the closer you are, you have to discount the distance between home and work before you look at the rest of the venue or the travel. So that's what it's related to. The Mfuleni debt, the question related to what happens at the end of the arrangement. Like we said, the kind of arrangement talks to them paying the outstanding amount but also servicing their current debt. So which means if everything goes the way it's supposed to, at the end of the agreement they need to be up to date with their payments. So we are not expecting that there will be a problem in that regard, as long as we are able to enforce the current arrangement that we see in place. The department, there's a page we were asked as well, and it was in the presentation, how much the department owes us. We're not worried about the current space. I think on page 15 of our presentation, on the right-hand side, we are stating the secondary activities where we are doing work on behalf of the department and what was due and what payment has been received. But this should also be looked at in the context that at all times, the department has their own requirements. Even if we put through and say, this is the work that has been done and this is what they owe us, they need to go through their own process to actually do the verification. But the numbers in terms of what they owe us is sitting on page 15 of the presentations that we've done. Royal Bafokeng, I must say here, and we must apologize for this, because this is a full complement of the municipalities that we're dealing with. If one looks at Royal Bafokeng specifically, this is page 16. What you have there is their current account. So if you look, they don't have anything 30 days that has aged. So here is the full complement. So I know they had used as default data to date, but we actually put all the municipalities there so that there's a clear understanding of where they are. So there's no problem at all with Royal Bafokeng on that. The issue of us being able to generate electricity as well. We do agree that in the project that we came and said this is what we want to do, we've gone through the Section 54 process. Now, Section 54 requires National Treasury to actually have a view, but finally it's the shareholder that approves that. So we do have an approval from National Treasury. But up to so far, we are waiting for the final approval from the minister before we can undertake what we need to do to actually ensure that we can deal with the high cost of energy on our side. Everything and the submissions we've done, but what is missing is now the minister's own approval. But we did get support a long time ago from National Treasury. In the Mpumalanga state, we had to answer a question that related to how much debt were they owing us. Currently it's sitting at 215 million. Historical debt outstanding is 10 million and is payable in March 2017. Current debt is 87 million and there are some portions of this that are under dispute. So we are going through a dispute resolution process. And we do have excess volumes because we've been putting a lot of new customers, or they've been putting a lot of new customers, but because of the agreement that we have signed, we were only charging them for what they could afford. But we are at a point where we need to revisit the whole agreement, because it is coming to an end where we are going to charge them for what they are actually consuming. But on their side, it's a matter of saying this is what they can afford. Only to find that what they are saying is they can only afford to pay us for 25 days, although in certain instances months are 30 and in certain instances are 31 days. So it is an issue that you are dealing with them at this particular point in time in terms of dealing with that particular issue. I'm just trying to check whether I have covered all the issues. Okay. The only thing would be, Chair, if you allow me 2 or 3 minutes, just to flesh the project in Mpumalanga, because we do have
one minute,
okay. The good thing is, most of the work that we're doing within the distribution space has been completed, so it should be quite fast. This is a busy slide, but I think this is where everything sits in terms of where we are. We say our asset planning division, together with the assistance of operations, have assessed the immediate infrastructure needs for the area of operation. Demand is currently only partially being met from a number of abstraction and treatment plants, as most plants suffer from a lack of maintenance. In order to bring the current plants up to design capacity and reliability, renewal projects are recommended at several plants to provide standby capacity, improving operational control for both water quantity and quality. This is the immediate focus of the capital expenditure program. The following projects have been identified: Akon Ukocha treatment work, Chulama Hashe water treatment works, you must apologize for the study, Oshali treatment, water treatment plant as well. Meeting further demand, current and future, we will require augmentation of both treatment and bulk pipeline capacity. This is considered as the second phase of the program, although some augmentation of infrastructure is expected to be invested in the initial phases. This is expected to increase the conditional assessment of the infrastructure completed in the upcoming year. The following project has been identified: additional Hoshani Ro water pump station and connecting pipeline, purification and pumping, a new pipeline in the Ndonga pipeline in the Hoshani space, a 20 megaliter reservoir at Ndonga, pipeline Ndonga to Kanimbong, and this is the diameter. And we are an interim cash flow projection over the next 5 year period is estimated at 600 million. And this just gives a view of the work that we've done in terms of the due diligence to say we have this water treatment works, the design capacity, at what level are they operating now, the operational capacity due to drought, and you can see the differences coming in, production reduction due to drought, what municipal area, the raw water source, and the raw water state. So the last part will actually show you that whether it's a poor one or it's fair in terms of what it can give. So with this work and working with the department as well, this assists us in actually looking at the design and what needs to be upgraded before in terms of structuring our own plan. And Mbombela municipality itself, Rainwater undertakes operations and maintenance for Nyamazane plant only. Therefore, Rainwater has limited ability to increase capacity. Contract with Mbombela has expired and is on a month-to-month basis. The current contract does not even cover the cost of running the plant. There is current and increasing debt. In the last session in January this year, Mbombela agreed to take to cancel the settlement agreement on the accumulated debt. However, given the past, there is little chance of success. Therefore, Rainwater's success in this
area. I'd like to stop you on that one. Thank you, sir. We do have all of that to ourselves, do we? We don't. Can you assist us with copies?
We will do so. We have forwarded the support to the
committee. Okay, the reason why I'm asking him to stop it is because we have indeed run out of time. Amador?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, for the comments towards the quite helpful. We undertake to ensure that in the future we beef up our presentation to ensure that it is clear to the reader.
Maybe as you continue, one observation that I picked up is that Rainwater has got their own logo, even in the submission. that yours is on a department, but you can continue.
Thank you very much, point taken. The question that I'm going to deal with is the question that relates to bonuses, who pays the bonuses, what, and how much. In respect of bonuses for amateur awards or for the students under review, no bonuses have been paid. The process of bonus payment is based on both the performance management policy of the organization as well as the shareholders' policy. So on the basis of those policies, we have not paid any bonuses. It's the board that is supposed to approve bonuses. So no bonuses have been paid. Thank you. I'll hand over to the CEO to hand the question.
Thank you very much.
Honourable members, let me go through quickly. On the rapid response unit, our services of protest in Makana. What we can say at this point in time is that the Amatola Water was roped in to actually stabilize and defuse that industrial or the protest in Makana. So currently, we don't have any action or protest in Makana because we are doing quite well in that intervention that we are not being paid for. Amount spent of requests on Makana, we have actually refurbished the plants to the tune of 63.2 million of the 92.8 million, and that is continuing currently. The source of pollution, high level of siltation in James Lynn Hunt, currently maintained. So we are maintaining it until such time that the plant is fully upgraded. And that there is a project there that is funded by the Department of Water and Sanitation to upgrade the James Lynn Hunt. And once that is done, I think the quality of water will be improved. And what assurance is Amatola Water giving to ensure that residents of Ndambe and Makana are getting clean water? We know that we are doing quite well at that point in time, and this we need to mention that the roads must actually be well defined because we only go up to the bulk point. We are not the reticulator of water, and it's purely on the basis of water service providers or water authority. So that needs clarity, and we beg for indulgence as far as that is concerned, so that we can align ourselves with other provinces. And the other one is on the Sandile Dam. How are we assuring that Sandile Dam has got capacity? We have done the feasibility study, as we say, and the option that we have opted for Sandile Dam is to raise the dam more so that it can take more capacity. We believe that that is global, that project is global, to actually have the pipeline and build it downstream to all the other areas. The issues of the irregular and fruitless expenditure, we have highlighted that once again to say this is really the interest paid and the accumulation of the interest paid on the delayed payments on the debt. And the long lasting strategy, we talk about, especially for projects that are implemented on behalf of the department, it's actually in the beginning of the financial year, we need pre-funding. I know that I've received a rejection of my request to actually have this project where we are acting as implementing agents be pre-funded by the DWS. But we would like to make another call. That pre-funding is the only way because we are killing our contractors and we cannot. Most of the portfolio of Amatola Water you see is changing, where we have actually hired emerging contractors because we are very serious about radical transformation. We are very serious, Chair, about our developmental objective of actually assisting black or emerging service providers. So we need money.
so that we don't delay the payment. And the department has got to really come to the party as far as that is concerned. And we'll continue really making our voice loud and clear. You know, the details of the students, once again, is a delayed issue on the court. And we cannot, sometimes we feel that, you know, we should have settled this matter once and for all. We got that cue from this honorable committee the previous year when we were reporting on this matter. But we are inhibited by the court. So this is really, you know, I think a denied opportunity for that poor student who got and, you know, suffered visiting our plant. The Notre Dame issue, as far as Notre Dame is concerned, Amatolo has worked extremely hard since they received that you know, directive from the minister to complete all the pre-work and everything, and actually ultimately coming to a stage of successfully awarding that contract to Stephen Stock. So we are currently about to press the button on the construction. I know that on the 24th we're having a project steering committee that is chaired by the government to be invited, that actually issued the terms of reference of how you know, the different role players will execute their duties. So we've done quite well since the directive was issued to get to the stage where we are.
Thank you very much. And,
On the issue of sustainability of Amatola water, the sustainability of Amatola water is under serious strain. Because, as I said, we are only providing 120 megaliters per day. Our core business, which is our primary business, only delivers up to the maximum of 120 megaliters. We can't literally even make enough money to put into a surplus for CAPEX program. So we cannot actually put aside the money for expansion of our project. And what we are working on is, our 6 plants that are being upgraded currently is the grant money that we received from Treasury through the department. And that was about $500 million in 2014. And once we have completed those projects, we'll add additional volume. But we need to do more. And we need the support of South Africa and the leadership of South Africa to actually assure that, you know, the institutional and realignment really happens to the eastern system. When a water board water in Zambia, what are we doing there? As we said, you know, we are doing quite a lot. We had a rapid response project in Zambia. We have upgraded a couple of plants in Zambia, and we are trying to address it with that kind of a pipeline. We're lifting up the demo and then getting the pipeline of 32 million in county. And that is just increasing and increasing. It's a debt that we really need to see how we can collectively do that. And the ADM is owing us 50 million as we talk. The ADM is a new debt that has now come and is threatening our sustainability. In the past year, ADM didn't know what to do. But in this current year, we are really starting to actually now even feel the pinch of India. And what is quite the forward 50 million in county, we're also now in the dry sanitation intervention in that area to do this work. But we know for sure that the DWS here will fully fund that intervention. We will be looking at them for liquidity of this transition. Once again, the same route that Randwater has taken or has been imposed on us, the same thing was through the project of Water Board, and we are at that particular stage where this year it will be the AG year. So we are engaging with AG at this point in time. That's open and to do the work.
Sub-complement of Omatola Water. The sub complements, we have about 334. That's our staff complement currently. And this is composed of 51 unskilled, semi-skilled 151, skilled technical workers and junior management of 107, and professionals and mid-management of 21. And we're having a training of about 23 and so that's where we are, and we need a critical mass of staff to deliver certain things. So we are aware that you know our salary cost may look high when you look at this graph, but it's purely you cannot do without those resources at this point in time. And the only way that you can dilute that contribution cost is really increasing your bonus and paying more. So we are considering, as far as that is concerned, meaning that Team Jake must do things differently.
Yes. The unqualified opinion, as we said, is a clean audit, and you know, we would like to maintain that. You know, we know that is a very you know, challenging status for us to maintain, but we will try to maintain that. Thank you very much. I think with those members, the details is in the report and submitted. Yeah. I think but for now, I think we have answered most of the questions.
Thank you very much. The member here is suggesting that we don't have those details.
Oh, the annual report.
Yeah.
You haven't received it.
No.
What about the hard copy?
Hard copy.
Okay. We'll make it available.
Okay.
I'll
take
hard copies. Are usually tabled in Parliament. We are supposed to have hard copies. Did you distribute them, Nadia? Okay. Maybe just before we click out some of us tickets that some of us have parked here in the hotel, you have your tickets for parking available. I listened carefully to Amatola Water and passion to support and promote collectivism. And as I've been listening and also hearing of the names of some of those that they are using to perform their respective duties, whether it was by design or otherwise, I've listened to one of those companies called Stefano, and I've also listened to that is now identified for your Milford Aftermarine, whether it is wide or flat, and also listen to Orocon, you also mentioned, but I'm sure you were to mention a few others.
Like LP.
Orocon being what they are. Now, a few questions have been raised by the district. What I would propose we do, the district, the municipality, together with COPCA and yourself, now that you are here together, actually, you might be able to find time and get to meet and see as to how best you can tackle some of the challenges that are confronted by the district. I would imagine here there's more that the district mayor would want to talk about. Now, we have attempted, I massive few that were currently. We have attempted to deal with the issues. We obviously did not have enough time. Clearly, what turned out is that for such sessions, for future, we will have to dedicate only one entity for that specific time, because unlike if it was for the whole day until 4 or 5, then you can cover one for morning and so around lunchtime and the other one for afternoon. Given the fact that we have until 1 o'clock, we certainly have a challenge to tackle two of those entities. So we are learning from time to time. Just in keeping with this issue, you know, I was sitting here thinking to myself, DG and Mr. Kim, whether at any given point in time, shall we arrive at a point where we have one water entity? Let alone all your challenges that relate to whether or not did I lose my job as a CEO. Let alone all of those, you know, but just as a principle, whether we shall indeed, we have an ESCOM in this country, which is an energy entity. Given all the challenges that you're confronted with, and also the complications that come with that, wherein in one area more or less, you're going to have two water entities operating with two different tariff structures applying. Obviously, people communicate, especially your farmers. It's something that really just comes into mind as I'm listening from the other day we met till today. I think that should be it for now, unless the members have any other issue. But I thought before we, if it is still related to what we're dealing with.
Just a clarity on one, just
on the issues we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just get from Amatola Water Board whether the funding on Noetzedag has been secured? And when are you going to start with this project?
Simple, straightforward question.
Yes, we can say yes because it's a directive that came from the minister.
That's not the question. Directive paperwork. Is the money secured? Can the contractor start tomorrow? Will there be money to pay? Maybe the department will answer the question.
The funding being looked at
internally within the I think we can come back to the committee with a written response on the progress of that.
We shall take me to the next point I was about to move on. We have a process that we've started as members of parliament with regards to all the media articles that have been out there in the public domain. We had assigned both lady and the gentleman out there, the content advisor and also our researcher, Mrs. Dawood and also Mr. Manung Fula, respectively content advisor and also researcher, to pull together what has been out there in the public domain. We are to take this process forward in the coming 2 days, that is now Friday, wherein we get to sit down and take that process forward. We had requested also members of parliament who might wish to assist that process, who have specific information, to forward that so that to those two officials, so that we are able to be reading from the same script, if you like. Now, the intention is to bring the minister before us and for the minister to respond to a number of questions that have been raised in the public media. Some of us have also gone as far as instituting a process with the public protector. I know Mr. Person has gone in that direction, and also Mrs. Baker, you have also started your own process. That's what Mr. Dawood was telling me when I was looking for more information as to whether or not are we ready. So all of that shall have to be packaged. I saw the first draft that they did, pulling together all whatever is out there in the public domain. On Friday, we shall then have to come together as members of parliament of the committee and take that process forward. We have tentatively, as I was discussing with some of the management team members, we have tentatively, of course, subject to that Friday meeting, spoken of a Friday, the 3rd of March, for the minister to come before us in responding to a number of those issues that have been out in the public domain. That also shall have been the issue. Part of what is in there in the public domain is that the department is bankrupt. I guess that's a related issue I was trying to say. In keeping with that, so it then talks to the point that you're raising. Okay. If there is no other thing else, looking at Maria is just informing us that indeed this time around you are not going away without having to eat. So clearly you are served for lunch. You're lucky. Parliament has been into all these austerity measures. Members, I tell you that the meeting is now closed, agenda to meet next time. Thank you for your attention. Until we meet next week. Friday. I can't find a good one.